Chapter 13. Mr. Lockwood returns.
1802. In September of that same year, I was invited to visit a friend in Yorkshire, and on my way to his home, I found myself close to Gimmerton. I suddenly decided that I wanted to go to Thrushcross Grange. I could stay in my own bed instead of a guest house and visit Mr. Heathcliff to discuss the rent money for Thrushcross Grange. When I got to Thrushcross Grange, it was evening. I knocked on the door, but nobody answered, so I rode around the house and found an old woman sitting on the steps. "Is Nellie Dean inside?" I asked.
"Nellie," she replied. "No, she's at Wuthering Heights."
"Are you the housekeeper here, then?"
"I look after the house," she replied.
"Well, I am the tenant, Mr. Lockwood." She stood up quickly.
"Mr. Lockwood," she cried. "Why didn't you tell us that you were coming? The house isn't ready."
I told her that I only wanted a clean bed, food and a good fire. There was no need to clean the house for me. "Is everything all right at Wuthering Heights?" I asked, following her inside.
"I think so,"
she said, putting wood on the fire. I wanted to ask why Nellie Dean had left Thrushcross Grange, but the housekeeper was too busy getting things ready. So I started walking across the moor towards Wuthering Heights. It was night, but the moon was full and bright. When I got there, the gate was open and the smell of autumn flowers came to me from the garden. "This is different," I thought. The front door was open too, and I could see and hear the people inside talking.
"Difficult," said a sweet voice. "This is the third time, you stupid boy. I'm not going to say it again."
"Difficult, then," said another deeper voice. "And now kiss me for saying it so well." The second voice was that of a handsome young man. He was dressed in nice clothes and sitting at a table with a book in front of him. His face was happy and his eyes kept moving from the page to a small white hand on his shoulder. Kathy stood behind him, her gold hair sometimes meeting his dark hair as she put her head down to read his writing. She was smiling. I suddenly felt angry with myself. Why hadn't I tried harder to make her love me? But it was too late now. Hareton read the word again, and suddenly Kathy gave him 5 quick kisses. Then they came to the door and began to walk happily together out onto the moor. I did not want them to see me, so I walked around the outside of the house and found that the kitchen door was also open. Nellie Dean was sitting inside.
"Why, it's Mr. Lockwood," said Nellie when I entered. "Why didn't you tell us that you were coming?"
"I'm only staying for one night," I replied. "I'm leaving tomorrow." "So why are you here, Nellie? Tell me."
"Zillah left," she replied. "Mr. Heathcliff asked me to stay here until you returned from London and needed me at Thrushcross Grange. Have you come from Gimmerton?"
"From Thrushcross Grange," I said, sitting down in a chair opposite her. "I wanted to talk to Mr. Heathcliff about the rent while I was here."
"Oh, then you must talk to me or Miss Cathy," she said. "But she's gone out with Hareton now."
"Ah, but you haven't heard that Mr. Heathcliff is dead, have you?"
"Heathcliff dead?" I said, shocked. "How long ago?"
3 months ago," she replied. Then she told me the end of her story.
A fortnight after you left us, Mr. Heathcliff asked me to come back to Wuthering Heights. Of course I was happy to be back with Miss Cathy again. But when I got here I was shocked. She had changed so much. Mr. Heathcliff told me that he was tired of seeing her, and I had to live in one of the rooms and keep her with me. She was happy about this, and I slowly brought her books and other things from Thrushcross Grange. But soon she grew bored and lonely. She preferred to go to the kitchen to argue with Joseph than stay in our small room. Hareton often went there too, and he was always silent and angry. She was rude to him at first, and told him he was stupid and lazy. "How can he spend a whole evening sleeping in front of the fire?" she said. Then she laughed. "He's like a dog, isn't he, Nelly? Or a horse? He works, eats, and sleeps. How boring." "Mr. Hareton will ask Mr. Heathcliff to send you upstairs if you don't stop speaking to him like this," I replied, seeing Hareton move his hand. "I know why Hareton never speaks to me," she went on. "He thinks that I will laugh at him. He began to teach himself to read once, and because I laughed, he burned his books. That was stupid, wasn't it, Hareton?" She went upstairs. In the morning, I knew that she was sorry for teasing him. But she was clever. And after that, she started reading out loud when Hareton was in the kitchen. Then she would put the book down at an interesting part and leave it near him. But he never picked it up. One Monday, Joseph took some cows to Gimmerton. Hareton was in the kitchen, and Cathy kept looking at her cousin, but he would not look at her. Finally, she turned, and I heard her say, "Hareton, I would like you to be my cousin now. Please don't be so angry and rough with me. I don't think that you're stupid. I like you." Hareton did not answer. "You should be friends with your cousin, Hareton," I said. "If you were, then you would be a much happier man." "A friend?" he shouted. "But she hates me, and thinks she is better than me."
"I don't hate you. You hate me," Cathy cried. "I was unhappy before, and angry. Please forgive me. What more can I say?" She took one of her books and covered it in paper, and she wrote, "Mr. Hareton Earnshaw," on it. Then she asked me to take it to him. "Tell him that, if he takes it, I will teach him to read," she said. I took the book to him and put it gently on his knee. He did not pick it up, but he did not throw it off either. I went back to my work. A little later, I came back into the room and saw their two heads together over the book. Their eyes were bright and they were both smiling. That next morning, we had breakfast with Mr. Heathcliff. Cathy was putting small flowers in Hareton's food, and he was trying not to laugh. Then he did laugh. Mr. Heathcliff lifted his head quickly in surprise, but Cathy looked back at him with proud, angry eyes. "It's a good thing I can't reach you from here," he shouted. "Why do you look back at me with your mother's eyes? Stop it! I thought that I had stopped you from laughing." "It was me who laughed," said Hareton quietly. "What did you say?" shouted Mr. Heathcliff. Hareton looked down and said nothing more, but Heathcliff immediately turned to Cathy. "Are you trying to make him hate me?" he cried. Get away, do you hear? Hareton, make her go.
He won't listen to you now, said Kathy. And soon he'll hate you as much as I do. You have taken my house and my money. You have taken Hareton's house and money too. We are friends now, and I shall tell him all about you.
Heathcliff immediately reached out and took her hair. As Hareton moved to stop him, Heathcliff's eyes were very angry, and I knew that he was planning to hit her. Then suddenly his hand moved to her arm, and he stared hard into her face.
You must stop making me angry, or I will murder you one day, he said suddenly in a softer voice.
Nelly, take her and leave me, all of you. Leave me. A little later he went out, and he said that he would not come back until the evening.